Good for it. Okay, I'm gonna try to get done by 12, or maybe a little before if we can. But I'm gonna start out here because the question I got up here, do we love to tell the gospel story? And it seems odd that I'd even ask that question. But let me read Matthew 27:28. It said, Jesus said, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach to the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Might seem like a weird question, but we're going to talk about our witness going out telling people what we hear here. See, that's basically what Jesus was saying here. What you hear here in private, so to speak, take it out there. Take it out to the people that need to hear. We've heard it, and that's good. Not good to hear it again now and then, but those out there need to hear. And the question is, do we love to tell this gospel story to those around us? And I done a little research, not a big one, but they done a survey on Lifeway Research. And I looked it up. I believe it was 1,800 people that they surveyed and asked, how often do you witness to those, your family or those around you, that kind of thing. And it was, it come up very small. I think it was 29% of the people actually do that, actually witness of those 118. And you know, that if that's true, and I'm just going with somebody else's thing, that's sad. But there was three things that they brought up that was really the biggest issue is why people don't witness, why people don't talk to others about their faith. And the biggest one was fear. And isn't that odd that that's what Jesus said here? That don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who could kill the soul. You know, fear, and there's many reasons that we fear. Many things we fear out here in life. And, but in this survey, kind of, I went with what they said, and one of them was desire to be friendly. In other words, they didn't want to witness to their friends because they knew it would be able to begin to make cause a wall. It would separate your friendship. So it was easier to step back and be quiet than to get out and begin to witness to that person. Now, I know we don't go around and run through Walmart and holler at everybody and all that. We know that. I'm talking about friends, people we know, people we associate with. How many do we actually witness to, you know? And the other thing was that they said is they felt like it would be a failure to them if they tried to witness and got no results. Or maybe they didn't have the right answer that people would ask. So it was easier to just be quiet. Just don't say anything. So I done that just to see, just out of curiosity. But let's look at the early church a minute. Now, this is in Acts 8:1-4. Now, Saul was consulting to the death of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church and entered into the houses, and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. It's kind of odd that the apostles, the preachers, if you will, they stayed in Jerusalem, but the church went out to all known parts of the known world and began to share the great news that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he had died and buried and raised from the grave. So they had a story to tell, and they didn't wait on the apostles to do it. They done it. Now, I know probably every individual probably didn't. But the point is, they didn't leave it just for the apostles to do this. They themselves, and I don't know. I know right after this, we see Philip went out and preached to Samaria. He was an evangelist. But I don't think God has left the story to be told just by the evangelist or just by the elder. I think that was something we all should be excited about to tell someone. And I don't know that we're going to win 100 souls or even one soul. But you know, some water, this thing hangs up. Some water, right? Some sow the seed. See, you might say something to someone and not really say a lot, but get them thinking about God. Somebody else may come along and say a little more. I know it happened to me in my life. It wasn't an evangelist that brought me to Christ. It was a woman. Now, she wasn't an evangelist. She just asked me to come to a revival. I didn't want to go. I went for her. I heard the gospel. It made a difference in my life. That simple. She didn't know that I was going to receive any the gospel or not. She didn't know doodle about me. Not a lot, but she knew enough to get me to ask me to come. But this was when the church was being persecuted, and I think many of these, and this is about 3.5 years after Pentecost, I think many of these may have been still there from Pentecost, because if you remember, they came from all the known world and came in there. And I believe many of them stayed there under those apostles teaching for several years to get grounded in the faith. And then when this persecution came, this is the first one that the church felt, that's when they went out. And they began to go preach Jesus Christ. And they went as far as Antioch, which is about, the furthest I can tell, 300 miles away from Jerusalem. So this was a great thing that God had to do, because they wanted to stay right in Jerusalem. They didn't want to go anywhere. The whole church was right there for 3.5 years until God let a persecution come on them. And poof, there it went. They went out. The gospel had to go out. Jesus done told them to take the gospel to all the world, but they were slow about getting there, weren't they? But anyway, here's another reason I think many of us, and this is where I've gotten sometime, that I've tried, but they don't hear me. So you get to a point, you say, well, what's the point? I tried, no results. I tried, I didn't hear me. So you get to a point, you just say, well, what's the point? What's the use? So you just give up. I think that could happen. Very easy for this to happen to us. But Jesus gave us a prophecy from Isaiah concerning Israel. When he came to Israel, this is what was going on in his day. Matthew 13, 14, 15 says, and the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. He said it right here. This is Jesus, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts, what is it? The hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart, and turn so I can heal them. And I was thinking, oh, I know what happened here. Jesus came at the wrong time. Did he? No, he came at the right time. You see, Jesus, in his day, he showed up when the people needed him the worst. These people, their hearts, look where they were. Dull of hearing. Well, hey, don't think it's not that way today, because it is. Same principle. But Jesus said this, my sheep will hear my voice. He went on to say in John, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Not only did Jesus know some of them that day would hear, which they did. Not all of them shut their mind off. He had some disciples. But he had other sheep, and he knew it was going to even go further than to Israel. He's going on into the Gentile world. He knew this message was going to get out there, didn't he? No, he knew he was going to speak it and some would hear. And that's where we got to get. There are some out here that we'll hear. Even though sometimes we wonder, where are they? But we got to carry the message so they can hear, right? There's four kind of hearts. I've went through these hearts before. There's four kind of hearts that we're surrounded with every day. Now, you don't know those hearts, and I don't know those hearts. When I talk to someone, I don't know their heart. You don't know them either, but God does. But this is the kind of hearts that we could expect. One of the three, four here, four hearts. The four kinds of hearts that we're around every day. Here's the first one. The wayward heart. Jesus said, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word, they have to hear it, to hear the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So there are some, when you talk to out here, they're going to hear you for a moment, but Satan is going to be right in the mix to do something to destroy whatever's been said from their heart. Now, I don't know exactly how he does this, but it's very obvious there's a heart out there that's going to happen to. And I don't know what heart that is. I don't know who it is, but they are here. And you can run up on them too. We all run up on these hearts every day. Here's another one. The stony heart. This is a heart. He who receives the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Yeah. Yet, he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. I've seen plenty of these. I've seen them come into church, we baptize them, and they're here for a little bit, and poof. Where are they? You see, they've got a stony heart. They got no root. They haven't got grounded. They haven't put any faith in holding on to what they hear. And when trouble arises of some kind out here, whether it be against their faith, or maybe just something comes into their life that just creates a problem and God ain't enough to fix it for them, so they leave. Seen it plenty of times. You see, the stony heart got a crack in it. It just ain't enough. And most of the time, I may be wrong on this, you notice it have no root in their cell? In themselves. That's what it says, right? I got to think about that. You know, people who have no roots in anything will be floating around all their life. They can't get stable anywhere. They got no roots. That's the stony heart. Oh, you got the heart among the thorns. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. This is the heart that chases the world. This is the heart that wants God, but they want the world. And then we talked about them two worlds this morning. Which one is going to be the dominant? Because this is the heart that the thorns grow up around and choke it, where it can't get no air, no breath, no spiritual life, because the world is taking over. This is the good heart. This is the heart we want to be. He who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produce, so a hundredfold, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, I don't know if you're a hundredfold, I don't know if you're a 30-fold or a 60-fold, but it don't make no difference as long as you're a fold. See, everybody's at a different place in their faith. But God wants you to get some roots. He wants you to get some fruit in your life, spiritual fruit in your life. And this is the good heart. This is the heart we want right here. Yeah, this is it. Hopefully you got it. I think most of you do because you're here today. That's a good plus right there. But all of us have to realize we're around all these kind of people in everyday life. Some of your friends, some of mine, some of your family, some of mine. Different hearts. But you know, that heart will show itself in time. But a time is coming, all will hear his voice, even the dead. People don't want to hear, they're going to hear. Oh, yeah. Everybody will hear God one day, whether they want to or not. Look at this. Do not marvel, this is Jesus again, do not marvel, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. You see, many people have heard the gospel who've already been dead. They died now and they're gone on. But they're going to answer to God for that one day. Because when judgment comes, and it's coming, when the resurrection comes, they're going to stand before the Almighty. You see, we don't want, and whether we're dead spiritually, same principle. People don't want to hear. They're going to hear. Because Jesus, they're going to face Christ one day. The saved and the lost will be raised at the same hour. Okay? Not only will all hear him, but every eye will see him. How about that? Nobody's going to escape. I could ignore Christ here. I could act like I don't hear him here. I don't have to live for him here. I don't want to do anything for him here. It don't mean anything to me. But you know what? One day it will, because watch what happens here. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And this is Jesus speaking. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I don't want anybody that I love and know here to face this. We shouldn't. This should be a motivator. If we really believe this, why do we want anybody that we love have to face God without Christ? But for some reason, it you know, I'm wondering sometimes. We'll see. I don't know. Jesus came the first time to save. The next time, he'll come to judge. Remember that. You know, the Holy Spirit is calling people through us. You know, the Holy Spirit is in us. He's desiring to save people, and he has to do that through our voice. God's calling us, people through us. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And all who thirst, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. You know, I got to thinking this because our mission is pretty important. If we really believe that Jesus is going to show up just any time, you know, the Bible tells us, see, the early church was looking for Christ to come just any minute. That's why I believe they were so active in their evangelism, because they knew the time was short, at least they thought. It's been 2,000 years. Might be another 2,000, but we don't know that. Might be today, might be tomorrow. Our mission is to tell people before it's too late. Because one thing for sure, when Christ does show, when that happens, it's going to be too late. It's not going to be can you imagine somebody who on Judgment Day is standing there before Christ, and the Lord says, so-and-so, did you hear my gospel? And they say, well, yes, Lord, but I wasn't ready for that. I'm ready now, though. Too late. Too late. It's on this side. This side of the judgment, because then there'll be many that I'm sure, without a shadow of a doubt, will want the gospel, but it'd be too late. And there's going to be many who understood the gospel, who believed the gospel, who obeyed the gospel, but left, went away, decided they didn't want it no longer. It wasn't important to them no longer. How in the world are you going to stand before God Almighty at that day? And he says, why did you leave? Why did you leave? I had you. in my hands and I was caring for you. And why in the world did you walk away? Because when you did that, I can't do nothing about that. That's your choice. See how important this is? Salvation is a message that we got to get out there. I just don't know. And I thought, you know, the reason I did this, I'll show you in a minute. You know, when God, let me say this about Jeremiah right quick. When God sent the prophet Jeremiah to Israel, therefore, he told Jeremiah this. He said, therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, Jeremiah, the things that God had said, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. Does this make sense? God said, Jeremiah, go preach my gospel. Now, I know they ain't going to hear you, and I know that nothing they're going to do is going to change anything. You just go on and do it. And I could see Jeremiah for a minute saying, what's the point? But it is a point. And that point is this. We're not responsible for what they do with what they hear. We're just responsible to tell them. Because what they have heard and they do nothing with it, back to judgment day again. They have no excuse. See, what people don't understand, they could play a game with this if they want to. And with God, they're gambling with their soul. That's what they're doing, gambling with their soul. It's like, am I going to serve him today or not? Maybe next week. I'll choose him next week. That's what I'll do. But what if next week never comes? You see, it's a gamble. And God done sent his son down here, shed his blood. You don't think God's serious about that? And he's saying, church, what y'all going to do with this? Because people are dying every day. Some people we know. What are we going to do? And it's hard. I have to be honest with you. It's hard to talk to friends. We've tried it. We got a couple of friends we've been trying to talk to, and we tapping around to dance around the edge. One day I'm going to have to just flat tell them. But you know what's going to happen? But I can't imagine Judgment Day. I don't know how it's going to be. But what am I going to do Judgment Day when they're sitting there being condemned and looking at me saying, how come you didn't say something? Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, hurt my feelings. Let me tell you what it's hurting now. You see, if you put this in a framework that we could really put it into a picture of what's going on here, we see it a little plainer, don't we? This is serious stuff, y'all. Thank God for that person that came to you. Yeah. You know, they snatched you right out of the fire. That lady that led me to that revival snatched me right out of the fire, and she don't even know it, I don't reckon. See, we got to try to, all I want to do is try to get us to see the importance of what our responsibility is. You know why I really did this? It's like for here. Because we got a story to tell, y'all. The greatest story that man can tell. The president. Well, the president can't even tell the story that we got. Yeah, we got something greater than he can say. You carrying in your bosom the Holy Spirit that will reveal to people the greatest story that's ever been told. Y'all believe that? Now, reason I done this, really, we're coming up on Christmas season, right? And right now, people's kind of more in tune with things of God. They hear the Christmas music, they see the nativity scenes and that kind of thing. Might be a little time to step out a little bit, and they'd be more in tune to hear. I don't know. But we are on the Christmas season right now. So I wanted to start with a song, a carol, and I think the rest of the month we probably will. So anyway, that's pretty much it. We're going to do a song here. Y'all like to stand.